The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to our top stories this hour. We'll talk a little more at 2:30. Story Aaron just had about the planned demonstrations in Bellevue by the intolerant left that won't abide by a Christian organization saying thank you and we love you and we appreciate you to first responders. It is amazing that they are planning these protests in Bellevue this afternoon for a dinner to honor our cops. But it shows you two things. Among the radicals on the left, people say, why do you always use the word radicals? Because I got a couple of those messages today. Because I don't think everybody on the left thinks like this. And I don't think that everybody on the left is a radical. And I want to differentiate between the people who do not associate with this kind of hatred, but they're liberal. I don't want to paint everybody with a broad brush. There are people on the left who I think I can reasonably disagree with and who reasonably disagree with me. And there are radicals. And I think I need to have a differentiation between the two. So that's why I use that word so often, because it's not because I want to, you know, use language to paint them with a more stern brush. I want to differentiate between, you know, the people who are crazed and the people who are normal but disagree with me on subjects. Although if you disagree with me, how normal could you be? I mean, let's face it. So we'll talk more about that coming up at 2:30. But you just heard some other breaking news that Aaron Granillo just had. Let's get right to the Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Breaking news.
So Dale Constantine has just announced that... Speaking of being precise with language, Dow Constantine says King County is buying hotels for the homeless. No, King County isn't. The taxpayers are. Why don't you give credit to the people who are ponying up the dough, the taxpayers? I know that you know, makes Dow Constantine sick because he wants the glory of the county where I am executive is buying hotels. No, you jacked up the sales tax rate, and every single person in the county has been paying this extra sales tax, and all you are is the middleman. You collect the dough, and then you buy the hotels. So one of them that they just announced buying was or is the Inn at Queen Anne. I just went to the website for that hotel. They've been housing the homeless for about a year now already. So I don't know what it looks like today, but it was gorgeous. An old brick building. They have a little paver courtyard next to the brick building with iron benches and a table with an umbrella. They describe that this old hotel was built in 1928, previously owned by the Catholic Church. Priests lived on one side of the building and nuns on the other. The lobby is newly renovated, and they restored the historic charm of the Inn at Queen Anne. I do not know why the taxpayers are buying a hotel in the middle of one of the most expensive neighborhoods in the city. And then also, I wrestle with this, because the fact that you don't have to be clean and sober to live in the housing that we are buying for you. You can be in this housing, and you can drink, you can use heroin. They say that they will eventually provide services on site, and I hope they do. But I'm curious for you. Does it bother you at all, since you and your fellow taxpayers are buying this? Does it bother you at all that if you're anywhere around my age, you probably have kids who would love to get into the housing market, and they're just priced out of it? Things are so expensive. And so our kids often just pay exorbitant rent because that's all they can afford to do, since they don't have the down payment for a $900,000 house. I mean, even a lot of starter homes. I know of one starter home that was valued at about $600,000. And there was a bidding war because it was considered somewhat entry level that took it up over $700,000. Well, most 20-somethings can't afford that. Does it bother you at all that we're being taxed to buy up hotels in very expensive neighborhoods, and we're going to provide free housing when we can't afford to get housing for our own kids? How do you feel, as a taxpayer, how do you feel about that? So Dow Constein talked about what the plan is. They're just going to keep buying and buying and buying hotels with our
money. We will have several more properties in several more cities to announce in the coming weeks, ultimately bringing safe, supportive housing to 1,600 of our unhoused neighbors this year and next.
So your kids and my kids can't afford a house, but we're going to pay for housing for 1,600 people who, you know, maybe through some through no fault of their own, but some through, you know, very bad choices, have found themselves homeless. And I'm just curious how that sits with you. And he says that this will be permanent for these people.
Permanently house more than one-third of today's chronically homeless residents.
Okay, why permanent? If you're going to help them clean up their lives, shouldn't the goal be, in fact, a mandate be, that we're going to provide you services, we're going to help you get clean from the alcohol, the drugs, we'll give you all kinds of drug treatment, and then we're going to get you job training, and then eventually we're going to make it so you can get a job, and we'll help you with job placement. And the goal is for you to be able to buy or afford your own apartment. But no, we're going to permanently house 1,600 people, which makes them essentially wards of the state. If you've ever been in any public housing anywhere, including in Seattle, where we tore down a lot of public housing because it degenerated into just a slum ghetto. Why make this permanent? Why wouldn't it just be a transition to help them get their lives back? It felt like I was just doing a Schick-Schadl commercial. But I'm all for that. Help them get their lives back and have a goal that they will eventually be able to work and support themselves and get their own apartment. This permanency, but that's what is desired by people like Dow Constein. This is not about helping people turn around their lives. This is about government controlling lives. And then, by the way, they can have somebody, their ballot harvester, can go down to the county-provided housing, they can pass out ballots, they can make sure that everybody there fills it out. I'm sure that the county would be happy to tell you how to fill it out, who to vote for, and then the ballot harvester can deliver however many of those, 1,000, 1,200, all 1,600, to King County elections, and then everything Dow does has a better chance of getting green-lighted. I was going to say green stamped. rubber stamped or green lighted. Oh, man. And that's because the reason we need this is because of this.
We will bring at least 500 more people inside 24 hours a day with services through the expansion of enhanced shelter and other emergency housing.
But as I've talked about, as long as drugs are legal here, as long as people can shoplift with impunity to feed their drug habit, as long as you provide wet housing where people can drink and use drugs, we are going to attract, no matter how many people you house, we are going to attract more drug addicts, many of them criminals, and that's proven from the crimes that have been committed around here the last few years. We're going to attract more than you will ever put in housing. And so the homelessness and the drug criminal problem will get worse and worse and worse. We shouldn't be doing any of this until we stop legalizing drugs, until we start mandating that you either get treatment or you will be put in jail. But this, no, we'll let you live on the streets. If you choose the heroin criminal lifestyle and you refuse housing, we are not going to tolerate that. That should be the approach, but it's not. Again, I want to know what you think about all of this. Text me. 98973.
Purchasing existing buildings means we can get housing ready that much quicker. Setting up partnerships with our 39 cities in King County and working with community-based organizations to make this effort successful.
What is with the music in the background? Why didn't Dow Constein just have a press conference where he'd have to answer some of the questions that people like me have? Instead, they just produce a little flowery music bed, a little PSA telling us how great and noble they are, how charitable they are with our money. Let me know what you think. Text me, 98973. Next up in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
I got a email thread between a listener and the Puyallup School Board, including the Puyallup School Superintendent. And it goes back a couple of months, but I want you to be aware of the kind of far-left mindset that is being used to indoctrinate our kids in the schools. When there was that shooting in Atlanta a couple of months ago, of the massage parlors, the Atlanta police said it was not racially motivated after interviewing the guy. They said that he had a sex addiction. He was trying to eliminate the root cause of his addiction problems. Well, the Puyallup school superintendent sent out a message after the Atlanta shooting, saying, in the Puyallup School District, we focus intentionally on diversity and inclusion because it's the right thing to do for humanity. The recent news of violence toward Asian Americans and the senseless Atlanta area spa shootings remind us that hate has no place in the Puyallup School District. Okay, I don't know what the Atlanta shootings have to do in any way with the Puyallup School District, but a listener wrote back to the superintendent and said, thanks for this message. Is there a reason you focused on this one specific incident from weeks ago? A few days ago, a Syrian man, Ahmed Al-Aliwi Alissa, executed 10 white people in Colorado. If you assume the Atlanta shooting was race-based, why are you not speaking out against the Colorado shooting? Should we discuss the ongoing anti-American rhetoric and how it leads people like this to murder Americans? How do you pick and choose which race-based crimes to use our school's resources to speak out about? And then the superintendent said, oh, we could have included a reference to the Colorado incident. It was an appalling act of violence. I should have written about that as well. The listener said to Dr., his name is John Palm, the superintendent, Dr. Palm, Thank you for your reply. I'm just curious why it's the Puyallup School District's role to declare the Atlanta shootings to be a racial event and even send out a message to parents suggesting that. The victims weren't all Asian. The suspect was not charged with hate crimes. And then the superintendent writes back, the board and I feel that school district has a role in promoting inclusion, anti-violence, and anti-racism. And then the listener wrote to the Puyallup School Board, and he said, I'm really not getting any answers from the superintendent. And again, he said, why are you using school time, school resources to send out emails about an incident in Atlanta that police say was not racially motivated and making it into a race hate crime? Kathy Yang from the Puyallup School Board wrote back, and she said, the incident in Atlanta occurred as the nation was being made aware of an alarming increase in violence against the Asian American community this past year. Listener writes back, thank you. A few follow-up questions. Are there criteria for which national events need the attention of the Puyallup School District? And he said, we've had bad actors in the media that try to perpetuate false victimhood and try to stir divide. And it seems like the Puyallup School District is simply following the lead of the media. It goes on. It's a long email. She writes back, at this time, there's not a delineated parameter that we use to determine when we choose to address an issue specifically. And she gives a long response. And I'll give credit to the school board member and the superintendent that they, you know, gave detailed responses. So then the guy says, so to be clear, the district will be putting out a statement about the Colorado massacre and the implication of anti-American rhetoric, and the district will be putting out a statement about the current administration's caging of 15,500 Hispanic children at the border, or no? Will those two things make the Puyallup District's cut for inclusivity the way the Minneapolis trial of one person and the massage parlor incident did? And then she writes back, and then he makes a devastating point. 2 weeks ago, Motion Church in Puyallup was going to have Charlie Kirk as a speaker. But left-wing Antifa BLM groups, they said, we will burn your church down if you have this speaker. The FBI got involved. The pastor of Motion Church came on my show. And it turns out a church in Snohomish and Edmonds had Charlie Kirk the same day. They weren't afraid. But this guy said, look, we have dormitories. We have kids in them. They've been doxing family members. They've been saying they're going to burn down their homes. And so the listener writes back to the Puyallup School Board and said, Motion Church is a staple in our community. Over the years, they've donated over $2 million to people and institutions in Puyallup. A couple weeks ago, Motion planned to bring in a guest speaker. A militant group of left-wing fascists organized and threatened to burn the building down. And he says, you know, Puyallup police, the FBI got involved. And he says, there are Puyallup school children who go to Motion Church. Based on the school district's commitment against bullying and violence, I'm certain you'll want to issue a district-wide statement about this the way you did the Minneapolis verdict or the massage parlor incident. And then he doesn't hear anything back. And then the superintendent says, no, we're not going to respond to that. And basically, we're not going to respond to anything else. I want you to think about that. That's a phrase. I told you a couple weeks ago how much I hate that phrase. I want you to think about this, because what I'm about to say is so important. Forget I said that. I hate that phrase. But the Puyallup superintendent and school board, they felt a need to comment on the George Floyd verdict and the Atlanta shootings, but not on a church that has many Puyallup kids attend being threatened by left-wing radical groups like Antifa and BLM. Why is that? Well, there's only one possible answer. And that is, none of this is about inclusion and diversity. None of it. Because if it was, you would want to protect Christians the same way that you protect your perceived protection of the Asian community and others. You'd want to protect Christians the same way. But no, It is just about an agenda that protects left-wing militant groups and is meant to condemn anybody and anything that is perceived right-wing. It is a school superintendent and a school board that is so not only political, but weaponized that they can't even see how inconsistent, how hypocritical, and how just flat-out wasteful they are in what they choose to condemn and what they support with their silence. And the superintendent and the Puyallup School Board should all be ashamed of themselves, and that's your big lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
We're going to check the news for you, and then, speaking of hateful intolerance, planned riots in Bellevue this afternoon and evening because of a dinner meant to honor first responders. It's really crazy, but it's also indicative of what's going on around here. Details next on the Dory Monson Show. A couple of questions here for you, Aaron Grinnello.
Yes, Dory.
First of all, does Dow Constantine, does he have a symphony orchestra that just follows him around everywhere he goes now?
No, he does not. Those were, again, as I mentioned, that was the pre-recorded portion of his State of the County address. I was watching a little bit of it as I was writing the news, but he would sort of interject at times and speak live and then toss to the video.
Yeah. Okay, I thought that he just, because everything he says is so regal and important.
I've directed public health to work with every school district in King County to hold pop-up vaccine clinics to ensure that every student has the chance to get their vaccine.
Yeah, it does make it sound, you know, more, yeah, regal is a good way to describe it. Yeah,
sounds better. That sounds like the kind of music you'd hear if you're on the Over California ride at California Adventure.
Perhaps. Yeah.
But then, secondly, so they're going to do these pop-up vaccines, he said, in every school district. I know that when they did them at the Tacoma Dome and down Lumen Field and all that, they said 16 and 17-year-olds had to have a parent accompany them. Do the kids with these new pop-up in the schools, do they have to have a parent accompany them or a parent signature?
I don't know that yet. The details of this plan were just that quick 10-second clip that you just played there. So I don't know. I mean, I would assume so, that you would have to have parent consent. If that's the rules at Lumen Field and that's what public health is, you know, sort of recommending, I would assume that would be the requirement for school districts too.
And I'd like to find out. I don't necessarily assume that because, you know, I had a story a few years ago where Ballard High School took a girl to get an abortion and didn't tell her mom. And, you know, they arranged, you know, powerful sex hormone therapies for kids without parents being involved. So I'll be real curious to find out about that. All right. I appreciate it. Thanks for getting that to us, Aaron.
Yeah, you got it.
Okay. So they're going to have pop-ups in the school. So what about the parents? You know, Aaron also said that a lot of parents don't want their 12 and 13-year-olds to get vaccinated. I certainly would not. I would not allow my 12, 13, 14. And I'm not saying you're wrong if you do want your kid vaccinated. I'm just telling you, I would not. I got myself vaccinated. Two of my three daughters are vaccinated. My wife's vaccinated. I would not get a 12 or 13-year-old vaccinated. So I'll be real curious if they're going to require parental consent, because like I said, public schools have arranged not just powerful sex change hormones without the parents being involved, but then they whisk them away to a doctor, they get them a lawyer so that the kids don't even, you know, they can be totally free from any parental influence at all? But are they going to require a parental consent for a vaccination? And if so, then why in the world wouldn't they do that for these other life-changing moments in kids' lives? But again, all of it is so inconsistent. None of this is about public health. It is about control. It is about the government making sure that they control not only you and me with those masks, those stupid, stupid masks, outdoor masks, just ridiculous. But they want to control our kids. And they've already proven for years and years and years that they want to control our kids' bodies. They don't want parents to have any say in your kids' bodies. And so will Dow Constein allow vaccination injections without a parental consent? Just like he allows powerful, life-changing, life-altering sex hormones and abortions and all of that stuff. It's amazing. That music. Oh, that music's amazing.
I've directed public health to work with every school district in King County to hold pop-up vaccine clinics to ensure that every student has the chance to get their vaccine.
What student? They said they're going to open it up to 12 plus. Every student has a chance to get a vaccine. You don't have to direct things. The parents can handle that. Parents will get the kids to a vaccination site. Why are you running this through the schools? Are kids who refuse going to be ostracized? Are there teachers? Like I talked to that girl at Juanita High School last week, and her teacher, in every violation of HIPAA laws, asked his homeroom class, are any of you 18? And the girl I had on my show, she raised her hand, yeah. Have you been vaccinated? And she said, well, that's horribly inappropriate. But, yeah, she's 18. It was a teacher. And she says, no. He said, well, you should get signed up right away for a vaccine. If a teacher did that to my kid, violated HIPAA laws, start asking them about their medical situation in a class full of their peers, I'm telling you, this is all completely out of control. And it's about control. It's out of control so that they can have total control over us. Okay, I didn't know we were going to have that story there. Let me take a quick time out, get to Awesome Audio, and we'll tell you about the riots that may happen in Bellevue today, all straight ahead on the Dory Monson Show. So will there be rioting in Bellevue today, tonight? And that's because at a Bellevue hotel, the son of Billy Graham, Franklin Graham, is hosting a dinner, all expenses paid, for Seattle police officers, just to say thank you for all they've had to endure the last year. There are a couple of problems, however. One, the Seattle City Council, in general, hates cops. Two, the Seattle City Council, not in general, in total, they hate Christianity. And so, when you combine cops at an event hosted by a Christian evangelist, they're talking about, and Lorena Gonzalez is the leader of all of this unrest. She told the police chief not to send out the invitation to the police officers to this event tonight. And it's an event, Franklin Graham came on my show exclusively last week. He talked about why they're doing this dinner.
Various communities want to defund the police and don't back the police, and they're discouraged. And of course, there's over the headlines over last week, I believe, over 200 have quit in Seattle this past year.
Yes.
And how discouraged they are. So we're wanting just to have a dinner, and we're inviting the police and their spouses, and they can be, regardless of their religion or their sexual orientation or whatever, if you're a police officer, you and your spouse are invited. And we're going to just have a great dinner, a time for fellowship one with another. We've got a great speaker. We'll have live music. but it'll be just an evening for them, and we're paying the bill. And it's no charge to them. We just want to encourage them and let them know that we love them and we support them and we back them 100%.
Ooh, nothing triggers people like Lorena Gonzalez like talking about loving and supporting police officers. Ugh, that must really make her skin crawl. So she said, oh, be offensive to LGBTQs if a Christian organization hosts our cops. And Franklin Graham, I asked him about
it. Do you do anything that actively discriminates against the LGBTQ community?
Never. We would never do that. And first of all, I'm not anti-gay. I love them and care for them and want them to know the truth. And I believe the Bible is true. So I want to share with them what God has to say. It's not what Franklin Graham says. It's just what God says. And so I want them to know those things. But I certainly I don't go to their rallies and picket. I don't fight them in any way. We invite them. They're not fighting. We're inviting.
So there is the possibility, however, that there will be protests, maybe even rioting was the word we were hearing, because people are so worked up about the possibility. Bellevue Police Andrew Papachuk talked to Jason Ransom.
And both of those events are something we're going to make sure we have adequate staffing on to make sure that those people can have their First Amendment rights and have an event.
Mm-hmm. No. People like Lorena Gonzalez, she doesn't want people to have an event. She doesn't want free speech. She wants it all canceled. We should all think like her. Please, Lord, don't ever let me think like her. I just prayed on the radio. Okay, with that as mere prelude, let's get to our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day.
Joe Biden did a little public speaking today. Hey, Joe, do you know that you're live?
Well, I'm just waiting for them to tell me when we get going here since we're live streaming this.
You're good.
He was on the live stream telling everybody he's going to wait until the live stream. Once again, this happened a few days ago. He was really struggling to read a teleprompter, too.
Ready to go. Okay. Well, first of all, hi, everybody. It's good. I'm supposed to look over here and not at you guys. And to help us get there, we've added two new tools. One, Americans can go to vaccines.gov. Or they can text their zip code to their zip code, text it to 438829.
He has the nuclear codes. And then finally, my friend Tom Nelson, I went with Tom and Brock Heward a couple years ago for my first ever salmon fishing trip up in Sitka, Alaska. Yesterday morning, Tom, who's up in Sitka right now with a couple of guys, he saw something that in all his years fishing in Sitka, you'd think that he's seen it all. But he saw something brand new to him yesterday. And the guys on the boat, they were so thrilled and excited.
I've always wanted to see that. Just big old grizzly, dude.
Okay, now there's off the shore, maybe even 100 yards offshore, there's a huge grizzly bear out in the water, out in the salt water. As Tom was just about to, I don't know if they were taking off or coming in, but there's a huge grizzly bear, and he'd never seen that out in the salt water like that before.
Oh, listen to him. Listen to him huff.
Hi, buddy.
Look at that. Wow, dude, that's a big boar, dude. That is a big boar. Hey, bear.
I love how excited these guys are about seeing
Grizzly. Dude, he turned back and looked at you there, kind of wanting to see him get up out of the water. Yeah, slow up a second, Tom.
Anything else over on the other side?
I think that's a pretty big boar there. Oh, little thing.
Then the bear's swimming toward shore. Finally gets to where he can get his feet on the rocks here.
There was a moose here. Well,
yeah, there he is. He's out of the water now.
And then the bear runs
that's
across
a, that's a healthy bear, dude. No way, man. Look at him tear across some rocks. Just hightailing it out into the mountain.
You got to see this video. It is so cool. I put it up on my Twitter, at Dory Monson, DoriMonson. Go check it out. Tom Curley next. God bless you in these crazy times. See you tomorrow. High noon. Later.
That's right. I'm history. I'm out of here. I got the lucky ticket home, baby. Rolling, rolling, rolling. Keep the wagon rolling, rawhide.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.